Well, now on RN, God forbid, we're going to meet the fresh new prince of hip-hop in the top end, Danzel Baker, known as Baker Boy. A young new muso and dancer from northeast Arnhem Land, 20 years old only, raised in the remote communities of Milingimbi and Maningrida. He studied at Shalom Christian College, Townsville, then joined the world-famous Indigenous dance troupe Chuki Dancers, and now he's carving out a reputation as the first Indigenous language rapper. The single Cloud Nine just released, he spoke with Jeff Wood.
My name's Danzel, all the way from Arnhem Land. Everyone calls me Baker Boy. My last name's Baker, my Baker family. My moiety is Dua. My skin name is Buralang. And my totem is Olive Python. In language, we call it Wittig. And it also represents the rainbow serpent.
Joe, Joe! Baker Boy in the town! I'm on cloud nine! They see you really humble, don't ever change, you be crumble. Let you can get in it, no one that I just think about God, don't ever turn back on God.
I started rapping early this year because of hanging around with Indigenous hip hop projects. I started seeing a couple of my mates freestyling and rapping, and I started thinking, I've been listening to some other rap music and stuff from overseas, and I've heard like there's some of the rap they do in Spanish as well, all that stuff. So I started, maybe I could try and do Yolngu Mata and try represent the Yolngu people of Arnhem Land and show the world that Yolngu people can get into two worlds as well.
Can't stop me now.
Can't stop me.
You can bring me down.
Bring me down.
I'm on cloud nine and I'm not coming down. Can't stop me now. You can bring me down. I'm on cloud nine.
When I heard that no one was rapping in Aboriginal language in Australia, and I heard there was a lot of Aboriginal rappers but never rapped in language, so I wanted, my biggest dream was to become the first Aboriginal rapper that raps in language and to represent Australia as well as Yolngu people.
Danzel, can you rap in language from the single?
Yeah.
Ngaran likan nama balandan wala lika yulun malaya curkum nama blikuman go mala balanya beli jama mringiti wala dua na purung wanga ya curkum na purung gal nganali beli miricin ngani tiga marijuana na pulika buna mirna nganjawanna.
So it means this is of me experiencing when I was in Melbourne. So every time when I'm walking down the street as an Aboriginal person, and there's always people that just keeps eyeing you and just looking at you like weird way, like, ooh, what's this guy's gonna, he's, and it feels awkward and weird. And I'm not saying everyone, I'm just saying that it's like some people think that we would go and steal or do something bad because of the color of our race, or like the skin color and stuff. There's also in my lyrics, there's, so understand that this is our land because we're getting sick from medicine, alcohol, drugs, marijuana, killing ourselves inside, making our insides go bad.
They see you really humble, don't ever change, you be crumble. Let you can get in it, no one that died. I just think about God, don't ever turn back on
God. Danzel, early in the song you mentioned God several times, and I know that you graduated from Shalom Christian College
yeah.
In Townsville. So is it fair to say that your Christian faith is important to you?
Yeah, I could say that, yeah. Because Aboriginal people seen Jesus as another spirit, and then we accepted him as another spirit that comes and helps and heals people as well. And that's how we respond to Christianity as well.
Be as good as me, boy, better practice. Step back with the power of my blackness.
Can't stop me now.
Can't stop me.
You can bring me down.
Bring me down.
I'm on cloud nine, and I'm not coming down.
No, it's pretty much like how I'm stuck in two worlds where Yolngu Mata and hip-hop and how that combines together and tries to make a bridge and then get everyone together.
So you're bridging Christianity and Yolngu spirituality as well?
Pretty much. And then I didn't really say like Jesus or anything. I pretty much say God. So what I mean by God, there's a lot of gods that everyone represents, and that's what I was aiming for, so everyone can relate to God.
When you were younger, did you go to church in Milangimbi or Maningrida?
Yes, I have. In Milangimbi, I've been, yes. There used to be all Fijians that came and did some church with us sometimes at the park where we just sit down and listen to them sing, which was amazing. And they would sing in English and then Fijian language, and then they would also sing in Yolngu Mata, which spinned me out, and I was like, that's amazing. That's really amazing. So I want to do something similar to that, but in hip hop as well. I'm on cloud nine, and I'm not coming down. Can't stop me now, you can bring me down. I'm on cloud nine, I'm not coming down. Can't stop me now. Can't stop me. You can bring me down. You can't bring me down. I'm on cloud nine. I'm on cloud nine. I'm not coming down. Can't stop me now. Can't stop me. You can bring me down. Can't bring me down. I'm on cloud nine. I'm on cloud nine. I'm not coming down. I'm not coming down. You can bring me down. I'm not coming down. Can't stop me.
Yolngu hip-hop artist Baker Boy, speaking there with RN's music reporter Jeff Wood. Cloud Nine, his debut single. And that had the voice of 14-year-old singer Kian Brownfield on it, Baker Boy, using music to build a bridge between Indigenous kids and the traditional way of life and the wider Australian society. Not a bad message as we begin National Reconciliation Week. Hey, Sami, what do you make of top-end rap?
I'm a rap fan. So as
Seriously?
A genre, yeah, absolutely. I have the time of day for rap, and that was excellent. So I'm more than happy to get the rest of that album. People assume that it's all just classic rock with me, but no.
There are a lot of assumptions, and John, you dispelled a few in the book.
A lot of my book is bumping into these tangles of ethnicity. We all just assume that we'll bundle all the non-white people together, the brown people together, and they're all like one community. And then we'll bundle all the white people together and they're all sort of one community. But that just wasn't the experience anywhere. You talk to people for long enough and you find there's so many things never discussed, at least in the media.
And the rapper, Baker Boy, bridges his Indigenous spirituality with his Christianity. You met Aboriginal people for whom the two would clash.
Yes, absolutely. I was speaking to this Aboriginal dude who'd converted to Islam and he was very passionate about it. He was telling me this story. He said, oh, I was just down beforehand. I was down at my former community and an elder there, she said, get lost. I said, oh, so she had a problem that you'd converted? And he said, yes. And everyone was kind of confused a bit. And I think they were confused because if you flatten Islam or Aboriginality to just meaning you're a minority or you're non-white or just meaning you're persecuted, like that story makes no sense because it's like, shouldn't, you know, they be together on the same team?
And
but as soon as you say, no, for people who are both devout Muslims and also for enough Aboriginal people, it's like there's a whole spiritual dimension for who they are. It's like dueling spirit realms. It makes all the sense in the world that there'd be circumstances in which an Aboriginal person would say, no, you've lost yourself, you've sold out, you've left the faith by converting to Islam.
I lived in a country town in Western Australia for almost five years. My closest friends there will say the most horrendously racist things and do often believe some of them, and they're the first people I'll turn to if I ever need help because I know they will be there for me unquestioningly. The Muslim communities in Australia are against homosexuality in large numbers. And then, you know, and the brown people hate the black people and the black people hate the Asians and the Asians hate everyone. And so this is shocking to us when we're like, oh my God, there's nuances within the races. And, you know, you can be brown, but also be a racist or whatever. And If you had, for example, TV stations, radio stations, newspapers, everything with a multitude of voices from different backgrounds, ethnicities, religious backgrounds, etc., contributing to the conversation, none of this would be as shocking. The reason why it tends to be shocking is because we've got such a, pun intended, whitewashed media landscape here that we assume all the points of view are very simplified based on whatever those four or five different authoritative heads that you have on television.
And yet surely some of the paradoxes exposed by John Safran in his book, none of them were predictable. Like, for example, the...
Most of them caught me by surprise. Like, when I read that, the ethnic, richness and diversity within the far-right groups, and I'll be very honest, this is far better than any of the refugee rights groups I've been to, any of the left-wing rallies I've been to, where I've walked in and gone, I'm the only non-white person in this room, and I'm being made out to be a token right now.
An example of that was like a leader of the far right. He had an Italian surname, and I found that interesting because I'd been looking at the Cronulla riots, which were 10 years earlier, and I noticed that even though we've reimagined that riot as being like an Islam versus anti-Islam riot, at the actual time, people weren't using the words Islam or Muslim. They were using Leb and Wog. And so because of the word the Wog, I was thinking, oh, is this guy who's now almost like a white nationalist leader with an Italian surname, would he have not been allowed to be on that site 10 years ago and things have moved along? And he said, yeah, Italian father, Aboriginal mother. And I'm like, oh. And I'm like, oh, God. I was like, oh, cool. The half Italian, half Aboriginal white nationalist. And then I'm interviewing him, and then suddenly this little Asian baby crawls into his lounge room. And I'm like, oh, what's up with the Asian baby? And it's like, you know, his wife is a Vietnamese immigrant. And yeah, so he was a very multicultural, far right, anti-multiculturalist.
Samisha, coming from Pakistan, I don't suppose you have any difficulty conceiving of a brown-coloured right winger.
Not at all. Most of our right wing was brown in Pakistan, if not all. Look, the language that far-right groups and conservative groups and commentators here use is identical to the language that they use in Pakistan. It's the same call to nationalism, the same, oh, our culture is being ruined by foreign cultures. It's un-Pakistani, you said, as casually as un-Australian. The language is very much the same.
Sami, you can see if it compares to the Pakistani variety. Let's have a listen to Blair Cottrell at his United Patriots Front rally.
The political party we are forming. I could stand here and present to you a list of 56 economic policies, but you don't want to hear that. You want to believe in yourselves and each other. Raise your flags up high if you believe in yourselves and this nation.
Yes! Come on, Mike. Yes!
This country has a problem!
Yes!
Yes!
Yes! Equality! Let's all be the same! Let's open the floodgates! Let's give away our nationality that our ancestors worked so hard for! And so if you want to fight Islam, you have to hit it at the core. And the core is this egalitarian concept fronted by diversity, inclusion. These people, like a clique, spread themselves throughout our society in journalism, governments, education, the three main organs of influence. And once they get in there, they burrow themselves in deep like ticks. Like an aggressive cancer, they spread themselves. These people must be expurgated like venom from a snake bite.
We love you, man.
This new political movement we are forming, nothing like it will have ever been formed before. It's the first of its kind, which is a movement of Australian people for Australian people. When have you seen it?
Blair Cottrell at his United Patriots Front rally. And that political movement was like nothing seen before. John, can you explain why?
I don't know. What?
Because he didn't get the party registered in time for the federal election.
Ah, yes, that is correct.
Sameed, the language, replace Australia with Pakistan, you're familiar?
Well, he sounded like he's got the same problem with the media as you do, Sammy. He thought
that's what
they're ticks and... So I'd say there's a place for you in the United Patriots
front.
Well,
like, the language, the whole language of the thing, with the first line right away, it almost sounded like he was frustrated by his audience, because he's like, I've got great economic policies, but you idiots don't want to hear them.
Do you know what is one of the interesting things about that speech? He didn't really talk about Islam that much. And he's like the leader of this anti-Islam party, and he made one little reference to it, and even that he was saying...
It's actually a symptom of a bigger problem.
Yeah, a symptom of a bigger problem. And so it was an attack on cultural Marxism, and people would say a coded attack on the Jews.
Yeah, well, yes. There you go. Now, surely you're talking about all these paradoxes in Australian politics and culture. Surely there were no Jews in his organisation.
No, that's not true. There were Jews who I hung out with who...
A member of his neo-Nazi organisation who were Jews.
Well, they said that because there is Muslim anti-Semitism and they want to fight that, the way to fight that is to join a far-right party which is accused of being anti-Semitic, because that's where the safety will be. It's like the Muslims are against us, the left are against us because they're very anti-Israel. So we can find a home amongst the far right. And
does that forget a signpost moment in 20th century European history?
Yeah, well, in the case of Blair, he talked about how classrooms should have Mein Kampf in it. And then you have people who literally have swastikas on their heads. But then you have these other far right people, you know, some of them hate the Muslims so much they don't mind the Jews. Some of them hate the Jews so much they don't mind the Muslims. And some of them just haven't thought about it one way or the other. I was in the middle of it where people were like pitching for my business.
Go figure, RN. It's God Forbid. We're with Samir Shah and John Safran.